This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Can I or am I allowed to? What is this?
Imagine
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape or form. Absolutely not. There is no question about this. This is a hadith about that. But the human beings start asking, right? So who built this masjid? You say Allah allowed it to be built. Who created human being? Allah. Who created the heavens? Allah. And then you will end up saying, who created Allah and who is Allah? Absolutely not. Because that is going to get you to a slippery road. You don't need to ask this question. Look around you. Just look around you. Look up. What is this beauty? Look at this chandelier. You probably didn't pay attention. Look at this chandelier. If you spend 2 seconds looking at this chandelier, how beautifully it is done. You're going to see the beauty of Allah's creation. I don't have to imagine him. And this is why he did not show himself to us. If you study Aqidah, Creed, they tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hajaba nafsa. He have concealed himself, the him. But how did he presented himself to you and me? He didn't leave us in the dark. He gave us his names and attributes. But how am I going to see the names and the attributes? By his creation. How many of you love animals? Show me hands. How many of you love cats? Right? I love cats. Why am I saying this? Because if you have a cat and you're a person who wants to get connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pay attention to that cat. Pay attention. If she's a she and she delivered kittens, look at that cat in the first 6 weeks. You dare get close to her. Who taught her that? They have no brain. They have no wisdom, right? They have no aql. You try to get there. What's going to happen? She's going to attack you. And don't try that. Who taught these kittens, to go and catch the breast of the cat? I'm not talking about the mother. And breastfeed. And then, after 6 or 8 weeks, done. And the mother leave them. Who's that? I didn't teach them, you didn't teach them. That's your creator. Apply it. As Imam Ahmed said, I learned. There's a concept in tazkiyah, it's called al-muraqaba, meaning watchfulness. You watch yourself, you watch your actions, you hear what you are saying. And he said, I learned this from observing a cat, looking at a hole in the wall, the bottom of the wall, where there is a rat behind it. And she was waiting, observing, watching when this rat is going to come out. I don't need to ask Allah, how do you look like? I'm going to ask Allah how beautiful you are with all this beauty around you. And I'm going to say, Allah, who are you? And you have given all this, created all this, done all this. Don't let shaitan, that's also one of the keys of shaitan, where he distracts you from what you need to know and learn to the things that will take you in a slippery road. Because the question about khushu and salah, the answer is very clear. What are you outside salah? You are inside salah. If these are the thoughts outside salah, it's going to come inside salah. Think about the food, it's going to come inside salah. You're so worried about the business, it's going to come inside salah. That's how it is. I mean, this is the best answer I learned years ago. They said the only difference is Allahu Akbar. If I'm thinking of Allah, then it's going to come thinking of Allah in my salah. Don't say S-A. What's S-A mean?
Salam alaikum.
Is it too hard to write salam alaikum? I see it all the time. S-W-T. What is S-W-T? I know what it means. A-S-A. Every word, see how miser we are with ourselves. Because when I say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether I wrote it in Arabic or I wrote it in English, or I said, may Allah be pleased with him, or may Allah's blessings be on him. Every letter, I'm getting 10 good deeds. S.A.? Don't follow what everybody else does. Those people don't know that. Don't look down at them. They just don't know. And we live in a country where they love abbreviation. Come and study medicine. Everything is abbreviated. But that's fine. That's how they are. But for deen, for my good deeds, to make my right book heavy, I'm going to take every opportunity, every breath in me. Because I want to go to Jannah, and I just don't want to go to Jannah. I want to go to Jannah to Firdaus. And if I want to go to Jannah to Firdaus, which I'm sure all of you, and inshallah we all will be, I am going to do things 99.9% of people will not do. Remember this, the gifted class, those students in the gifted class are not the same as the students in the ordinary class. What is the difference? Huge difference. That's the same concept. So, assalamu alaikum. How do I know if my prayers have been accepted? I constantly find myself doubting. What is wrong with shaitan? It's very strong in Virginia. Honestly. This is another trick of shaitan. SubhanAllah, during COVID, I did a whole course. There's a beautiful book to Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. It's called Ighathatul Lahfan min Masa'id al-Shaytan. Saving the desperate from the tricks of shaitan. It's a beautiful book. It's two chapters. It's two volumes. And I did it actually during COVID. This is another trick of why your salah is not accepted. Learn this concept. There's two concepts in salah or any act of worship you're doing. It's accepted and it's rewarded. It's completely different. Meaning, we all prayed Maghrib, right? Alhamdulillah. We all followed the Imam. Our salah is accepted. It was done correctly. Once you do it correctly, it's accepted. I'm not going to stand in front of Allah. This is what means accepted. And He's going to tell me, you didn't pray out Maghrib. If I didn't do it correctly, I didn't do it. So then He's going to ask me, why didn't you do it? Where is the difference? How much reward from these 1,000 people that prayed behind the Imam, I and the person next to me on my right or my left, we did not get the same reward. Only He knows, where was your heart? That's the difference. So don't say it's not accepted. At all, don't open this door to shaitan. It's always accepted. It's just, I hope Allah will reward me the highest reward. And again, if you're struggling, you know, we all struggle. We all struggle in salah to focus. The fact you're struggling, you will be rewarded for the struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. Those who struggle for our sake, we will guide them to our path. Cover your bosom. And when you reach certain, everyone know this verse. This is how I say it. There's verses in the Quran. If you ask any man, he knows it very well. And there is verses in the Quran. If you ask every woman, she knows it very well. That's pick and choose. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, so the woman here, the question, I know before I finish it, I know where she's going. And she said, you reach certain age, you do not have to do hijab. But it is better if you do it. Really? Is this a statement right or wrong? Now you're in big trouble. Because if you told me wrong, I'm going to say why. There's a basis of this question in the Quran. But that's a hawa question. Because she did not put the whole verse. So why it's wrong? If you don't know the answer, then don't answer from the beginning. And that's another problem with women. I was very hard on you today, but that's okay. You're amazing, actually, group, to be honest with you. The only people who beat you was actually Calgary, for only one reason, they were double your number. Yeah, subhanAllah, the masjid was huge. That's why when I came in, I was like, oh, I thought it was much bigger. There was 2,000 people in that room. 2,000 women. They were amazing, subhanAllah. But you also were. I mean, subhanAllah, it's awful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِ لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحًا يَضَعْنَ مِنْ ثِيَابِهِنَّ بعدين وَإِنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So Allah said the following, right? So those, الْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, those type of women who are not interested in getting married anymore. And don't tell me any one of us. Mm-hmm. 70 years old, she still wants to get married. And just a second, is that haram? Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Right? It's just different. Things have changed. It's halal. She wants to get married. I had a woman who called me from overseas and says, please don't laugh at me. I said, why? I think she was 60-something. Grown-up children. And said, I can't remember, she was widowed or divorced. I can't remember. And she said, I really want to get married. I said, what is wrong with that? On the contrary, it is something pleasing to Allah. As long as the process and who are you getting married, all is pleasing to Allah. So Allah said, if you really are not interested at all in getting married, فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ, there is no issue, there is no sequence. أَيَضَعْنَ مِنْ ثِيَابِهِنَّ. Now this part she didn't put it. مِنْ ثِيَابِهِنَّ. Allah didn't say take off your hijab. He said, because normally the hijab needs to be like three parts. So that woman who is not interested at all, no desire, it's okay if you take the outer garment. But if she keeps it, it's better. So there's no certain age. I hope this is very clear. Alhamdulillah. She's 13 years old, is niqab, is obligation. Well, the first question is she baligha? Has she reached the age? Meaning, did she got her menstruation? If she got her menstruation, she's a baligha. She's a mukallafa. Meaning now she is going to be asked by Allah. Whether niqab or hijab, before we get to the niqab, the hijab become obligation. And I don't want any one of you says, oh, she's still young. Yani Allah doesn't know she is young. Don't help shaitan on people. She asks you, you say, it is an obligation. I'll make dua for you, that Allah make it easy. I can't say you're too young. You got your cycle. Whether niqab or hijab, now we're talking about the different opinion. 50-50, the scholars differed. It all depends upon the question, is the face of the woman awra or not? Is the face of the woman needs to be covered like the rest of the body? They differed based upon two hadiths, and the two hadiths is almost the same strength, and there is nothing clear-cut in the Quran. So they said, some says it's absolutely an obligation, some said it is not. Personally, what I say, like I remember very well, we were in Hajj or Umrah, I can't remember. There was a young girl with us. She's not beautiful. I have not yet found a word to describe her face. Very beautiful. Full of haya, subhanAllah. I looked at her and I said, you need to cover your face. Because you can see she's a fitna. You can see. I was walking with her. And you can see. I mean, she's very beautiful. Do you see the point? Right? If you follow that school of thought, yes, it is an obligation. If you follow that school, it is not. But definitely hijab, meaning, alhamdulillah, Allah made me remember. I didn't see it here, but I'm saying in general. Hijab is not covering the hair only. And we are seeing this, which is really, I don't know who invented this. If you are wearing things to describe the shape of your body, you are not wearing what Allah wants you to wear. Period. It doesn't matter what you do. You want to wear shirwal qamis, you want to wear a jeans and top. There's nothing says you have to wear abaya or you have to wear this. These are all culture and people are comfortable. That's fine. There is outlines. This is what I tell people. There's outlines in the dress code. Details is you decide what you feel more comfortable. The main outline, it does not describe your body. If you are wearing tight jeans and a short top on it, and you're covering your hair, it hurts me. You know why? Because you're doing the most difficult thing, which is covering your hair, yet you are not doing it completely. So you love the jeans. It's very comfortable. I agree with you. In fact, it's actually more, it's even more haya to have something like the pants. Just wear something wide. On top of it, reach your knees. Done. Which is basically the concept of shirwal qamis. Right? Because it is very practical, to be honest with you. If you want to go for exercise, it's going to be a little bit tough to do it with. I've done it before, but it's a little bit tough with abaya. But if I do something on top, long, and I put a pants under, it's very convenient. So please make sure, if Allah gave you the strength, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, to cover your hair, because to me that is the hardest thing. Do the rest properly. And He will make you love it. Subhanallah. Assalamu alaikum. As a gynecologist, okay. How did you study Quran, Islamic studies, while also living with the responsibilities of the dunya? You make priorities. You make priorities. How does the woman with four kids, and she works full time, and she's a wife, and she is a daughter, takes care of all this? You prioritize. You put priorities, right? You have to be at 9 o'clock at work. You're going to go to work at 9 o'clock. You need to come back, and at 6 o'clock, you need to put dinner on the table, whether you order, whether you cooked before, whatever it is, right? If you all have a 1-year-old, you need to breastfeed. You're going to make time. Am I correct? Same thing. Well, we don't look at it. Again, remember what I said. We don't look at studying Islamic studies, memorizing the Quran, right? Being in Allah's path. As something I have to do, like I have to take care of my children. We don't. I spent 4 or 5 hours in the kitchen cooking something because I like it, I love it, or I have guests coming. But I cannot spend 30 minutes every day studying one hadith of Rasulullah. One hadith. For those of you who know Arabic, it's easy. If you don't know Arabic, it's not a big deal anymore. Everything is translated. All the books I wanted to teach the students in Jannah Institute, and I wanted to teach the original books, all of them are translated. I was like, Rabbi, lak alhamd. The answer is priority and efficiency. You put your goal. You want to go to Jannah? Of course you do. You cannot go to Jannah with ignorance. You need to study. And you need to study as you study whatever profession you have. You need to put the Quran and the knowledge of Allah as important. May He forgive me. But I want to be practical. As important as your children and your spouse and your beauty and your home and your exercise and your diet. We don't. We put everything and then I come at the night and I am dead tired. I pick up the Quran and I'm sleeping. Right? So it's not impossible. Is it time?
Yeah.
9:20. Is it time for us? No, Iqama is at 9:45. So basically, each one of you, and I'm not trying to scare you, studying especially the obligations of this deen is not a luxury, it's a responsibility. Each one of you will be asked, why didn't you know what are the pillars of salah? Why didn't you know what breaks your fast? And every year in Ramadan, I got the same question. To the point I was like, Ya Allah, متى سنعلم الأمة? When is this ummah going to memorize? When you get your cycle, 5 minutes before the Maghrib, you need to break your fast. But I fasted all the day. I know. You still have to break it. These needs to be ABCs. Like, you know, if I ask, especially those of you who are in middle age, give me a recipe for a rice, everybody will give me a recipe. You're not going to even think about it. Why do you know how to make a rice and you don't know what to break your fast? Priority. This will be the last question, so I can go out, and I promised all of you, whoever still did not sign the book, and we can get ready for Aisha. If the block is in your family, how can you, what? Remove that. It's not a thing, it's a person, like a spouse. Meaning, it's a very good question. The obstacle or the hurdle, remember what I told you, it's usually us. But the hurdle in my path to Allah, someone very close to me, will be harder than a husband if it is your parents or it's your children, because you cannot cut them. These are your blood relationship. You can't cut them. There's no Jannah, and you could have cut your blood relationship, even if they are kuffar. Absolutely. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, his uncle was kafir, right? It doesn't matter. They are your blood relationship. You have to keep it. I don't care what they did to you or did to me. Now come the spouse. And this is especially for the young and mothers who have children at age of marriage. Make sure the person who is marrying your children, she or he, they are pleasing to Allah. Don't put money number one, and don't put family number one, and don't put ethnicity number one, and don't put career number one. And you're going to say, but he doesn't pray. Oh, he will pray later. If he was not rich, but he goes to Fajr, you don't say he will get rich later on, because that's my nafs. So if the spouse is the block, this needs a lot of dissection, I call it. What's the level? If this man is preventing me from the obligations, that's the time when I ask for divorce. If this man does not allow me to pray or fast, or he forced me to do haram, I am leaving, because I am not going to sell my akhirah for my dunya. If these are not the case, but he is not helping you, that's a choice you made when you were younger. If he is not blocking you, then you keep going. You keep going. He tells you, I'm not coming with you to the masjid. You go. I'm not going to fast Ramadan, but you fast. He's not blocking you from obeying Allah. And he's a good man and everything else. I will not say, oh, go and get divorced right away. Because that's the whole community. Most of the people will get divorced. And you never know that you're... No, really, these are realities. If you see what I see or the questions I get, these are realities. And if, by the way, from both sides, don't you think it's only the husband? I've seen it from wives also, which is just like, wow, what happened to us? But if they, she or he, is letting you do what you want to do, but there is one trick in here, is this is affecting the children? Which most of the time the answer is, absolutely. Then you have to really think about it. Actually, to be honest with you, spouses are the easiest. You know why? Because there's a way out. I'm not saying you need to go and end your marriage, but it is not like your blood relation. If this is your mother, I've seen this. Talk to the reverts and talk about and listen to their struggle. This is your mother. This is your father. This is your sister. This is your son. These are all realities. Realities, get real, go out and talk to people and see the obstacles they are facing. And sometimes you say, you know what? I'm just going to make dua for you. Because I'm not going to tell her to break, cut it off with your mother. Young people, the mother says, if you're going to put that hijab on you, you're not my daughter anymore. What are you going to do? And she comes and asks you. So the spouse, again, look, what is it? And then may Allah make it easy. Jazakumullahu khairan.